sign. We are we bring the news of the apocalypse. It's coming.
Passing over the dawn, witness my plan, speaking my prophecies. Enemies try to stop me, been rolling with 30 niggas who've been watching my currency. Funny how niggas think that this life won't pass. Smacking suckers with my roadie, now they chewing on caps. I'm not your rabbit's jack, fully strapped with automatic lyrics, hunting these niggas till they gone. Another broken spirit, my military mind, plan, plot, strategize. My army's full of ruthless killers, can you visualize? Egyptian gold got my neck broke. And we can make your heart to eat, so now we killin' them slow. We know we more, watch them all rock. You hard or not, they never seen it coming. They started running when my balls dropped. Seven signs, believe these corny niggas traumatized. Too busy clocking my speed to even catch a ride. Mama cried because the son became the chosen one. They wasn't ready for this level, watch it, here we go.
My troops ain't never left in. They'll shoot you if you step in. You lose without a weapon. It's true, it's Armageddon. It's true, box gone. But the torch is still burning. The war is still on. And the earth is still turning. The property still lasted. I guess it's real magic. I won't reveal that shit. You know it's real drastic. Tonight I will blast it and ride on my enemies. Surviving by any means. It's deep like the seven seas.
Doesn't last until Friday, or even worse, like after Friday. Oh my god, if I have to have like another operation to fix whatever this is.
All right, welcome down to G Cardboard Crack House. Yeah, this is Earl Grey,
parking lot
Bubby,
and we're going to talk to you about the changes to the WPN network.
I'm actually really glad to hear about these. I saw this and what are they doing?
Some of them are changes, but some of them are rewording.
Yeah.
Is what I'm looking at.
Well, it's like rewordings to like to kind of not really protect them, but just to make it more clear. And then it's still a change.
It's a change, and it's simplified magic. You know, simplified Chinese. It does make it a lot clearer. It's a lot easier. There was some people ranting and raving about how it's broken system.
Hold on a minute. The WPN has only been around for 10 fucking years.
Yeah, I mean that was when they started doing the upgrades and they giving out the hell vaults and shit like that. So yeah.
I think I believe the Hell Vaults was the kind First of the inaugural like big
but
WPN
no, I remember
event.
The WPN being around in the late 90s.
It was at that time. It wasn't as, I guess that's a good way to put it, like influential.
Because the software that they used back then came out in 99.
Well, this has to do more with the stuff that they're giving to shops.
The revamped.
Well, no. When they originally like instated it 10 years ago, that's how they determined what shops were getting what and allocations. And
stuff
like that.
The levels and everything else. Yes. Yeah, I remember when they introduced the levels. It took about a month and a half for you to get to level 4, depending on how many players that you got. It sucked, dude, but, you know, it was fun. I liked it.
I enjoyed it. I liked early on when they actually gave you more cool stuff. Like, Hell Vault was fucking nuts, even though it was kind of bullshit that, like, some stores got special ones. But it was fucking cool to get that extra stuff.
Well, here's the funny thing. So the way it states is, when the Wizards Play Network launched 10 years ago, it included about 200 game stores. One also did oil changes. Another mostly sold lumber. And we were grateful for them. Literally, that's how they fucking shit worked.
I guess they had stores that, like Home Depot, that had Magic games afterwards.
We had clubs. We had clubs that, when I was hosting WPN events, it was wherever I could get them. Pizza Parlor.
Yeah, I mean, the first tournaments I ever went to were at a bookstore. There were a bookstore that had, you know, they had collectible cards in the back of the store. And then they had events.
Baseball, well, hockey.
I mean, I didn't even know.
I love the fact that it goes, well, we know retail was the demand driver. Yeah. Your mom and pop shops were the ones that were help pushing this fucking game.
I mean, I was young back then, so I didn't even know what a, you know, local game store was until someone showed up to the bookstore that we were at with good card sleeves. And we're like, whoa, where'd you get those good card sleeves? We're sick of these really shitty quality ones.
Yeah.
And then everyone just rushed over to the local game store that was popular and still is pretty popular, and everyone got cool games, you know, cool sleeves, and then we got a new store to go to and play.
So now they're stating there's only 6,000 WPN members serving more players, and there has to be more than 6,000 worldwide stores.
I don't know.
Hell, at one time we had 4 here in Bakersfield.
4 stores.
Yeah,
we had 4.
But how many of them were on the WPN?
All four of them.
Oh, yeah, I guess. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. And we've lost 2.
3 of them.
3. Yeah, we've lost.
Well, I guess we have 2 now, currently. Technically, we have 2. Realistically, we have 1.
Since its debut 10 years ago, the in-store Magic has quadrupled in size. 22 million players. And we want to be able to say the same thing in another decade.
Of course they do. We want more money. Come on, bring in more players to buy more shit from us.
When the player base in reality,
one of the big things is they originally had levels. Level 1, 2, 3, and 4. It depended on what level you were, is depending on what you got for pre-releases, how much,
and there was a bunch
product
of
you can get for
levels.
Yeah, to be a level 1, from 0 to 1, it was real easy. You had to have an F&M
with like
a minimum of 8 players a week for 4 weeks straight.
Wow.
Nothing big, you know. After a month, you got your level 2. You went up
to level 1.
Level 1. Then from level 1 to level 2, it was double your player base, 16 players, for a month straight to get it. The biggest one was going from 3 to 4, because you needed 36 players, unique players, every week
for a month.
Yeah.
So, if you were a mom-and-pop shop and you're only lucky if you're getting, you know, 16 players a week.
Yeah, our store definitely shot up there pretty quickly. I remember back then when this was first reinstated, we were having, you know, 60-plus people per an F&M. We didn't, the store was so small, we couldn't fit everyone. They actually had to limit the people. We had, sometimes they even had fucking tables set up outside.
Yeah.
They had so many people.
I loved it when it was outside, especially during the summer months. It was a lot easier and a lot nicer outside than
it
was inside.
You could fucking breathe. Like,
at the outside tables, you're like, you know what? Let's play for the bottom rack so we can stay outside.
Exactly. It's like, oh, I want to lose this round? Okay, yeah, I want to stay outside.
Fucking losers.
So now WotC is getting rid of the WPN network, and now they're replacing it with the WPN Premium.
Yeah. Well, the issue...
Does it come in foil?
The issue, from what I come to understand, is even though there was up to rank 4, it still wasn't accommodating enough for these random stores that are having 100-player F&Ms. Like, they didn't have enough, you know, supplies for...
Yeah, I think it was at once you hit level 4, which is, what, 60, I believe it was 64?
Like, you had a max amount of promos and, you know, prize support that you can get.
They weren't really, but your rep for the WPN would have to if they knew that you were hitting, because they can see your numbers.
Yeah, they would sometimes send you double. Like they'll send you an extra pack. But it was still, you know, that was still kind of not really on the books. Like they can't really put like, oh, you know, we're sending
two
packs. Well,
for those of us that were originally running it, like me and Ted and a bunch of us that were doing, you know, at like schools and whatnot.
Yeah.
Every 3 months we had to put in our numbers to get our WPN. Sometimes we do two or three orders just so we had enough to give out promos.
Yeah.
Because you get them in packs of 10. The promo comes in a pack of 10.
Yeah.
And sometimes if you're only, whatever your level is, you only get one of those per level.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like, this is also more than, like, F&M. This is, like, those league promos that everyone's getting. And nowadays, this, you know, this standard showdowns, etc. So
there's so much more given out now.
Ironically, than there was.
And believe it or not, man, those standard showdown packs are fucking money. Because you're guaranteed a fucking foil in each pack.
And the lands. The lands are pretty popular.
Yeah.
You're seeing
those custom
lands
and those. Super cool. Yeah.
But the thing is, like, they're upgrading this for those shops that had those ridiculous numbers. Because even if they added an extra level, like, it still limits the amount that
they would
can
have
give.
To add a couple of levels
to like
catch
they,
up
they would
to
have
some
to,
of these,
to
like
an
the
extent,
top
but
it
would still
it
would still be a limit. Like the way that they're wording it now, it kind of gives them more legroom to kind of decide how they give it out, which to
well,
an
that's
extent
good,
is all
because
right.
You got stores like Star City Games, you know, they have a large F&M.
But my issue with this is like, what is it going to do for? Is this going to promote more favoritism? Which it seems what they're trying to do. I mean, not really what they're trying to do,
yeah,
but what they have
been. I believe it's, you might hit the nail on the head on that. It's not favoritism, but it's more incentive for the higher end places to get more stuff versus, yeah. Oh, look, if you're a small mom and pop shop with 8 players a week, you should push a little bit more, spend a little bit more money to try to get those 16 players so you can get more fucking more shit.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I mean, I'm all for giving people extra stuff, but I really don't like the favoritism. Like, I loved the Hellvault idea back when it came out,
but
the fact
fucking,
that, like,
dude, when I found out about that fucking
those
shit,
extra bonuses, nah,
those
that
bonus
was too
fucking
much.
Cards, those foil fucking Hellvault cards, and I showed our local LGS the printout, fucking went apeshit. Went on the message boards, messaged
everyone
Watson,
did.
Fucking holy fuck.
I mean, that's probably why they didn't do it. Like, the first run just
I mean,
pissed
what,
off
they were giving
people.
Out Crucible Worlds and something and
it was Demonic Tutor.
Yeah.
It was Judge Foils. Like, they were giving away a pack of 100 Judge Foils that are worth $100 plus each. Like, it was absurd.
Not
like,
including
why,
the foil tokens.
Not including the foil tokens. Like, the Hell Vault, the price of the Hell Vault of a regular one that every store got, which was probably like, let's say maybe $100 worth of stuff,
yep.
Versus a Hell Vault that's probably worth 10 grand. Like, why did that store get a free 10 grand for everyone? And, you know, all these other stores that are trying,
yep.
But don't have that opportunity. Why didn't they get one?
And
why
both,
wasn't it just
and
random?
And the two that actually opened it were both on the East Coast.
Yeah.
One down in Florida. And I forgot where the other one was out. None of them on the East or West Coast. None of them. None in the Midwest. Man, that was, oh man, that's still fucking, that was salty because we were like, dude, we sat there. We're like, come on, open up the Hell Vault. Just see what's in there. No, we're going to wait.
Like, the cool thing was, too, is like our store had two Hell Vaults for the two events because we had two separate events. And because
yep.
We had enough players to, you know, get at that level. So everyone opened the first Hell Vault for that midnight event. And everyone's like, oh, we didn't, you know, oh, cool. It's the cool Hell Vault, you know. And then everyone started finding out about the secret Hell Vault. And they're like, oh, no, let's open the second one. And they're like, no, we have to wait till the next event. And then we open the next event, same thing. And it's like, oh, nope, we're not that cool.
Yeah.
We're not fucking awesome enough
all
to get
I know
fucking
is
Judge Foils.
You're Bubby, not lucky.
Hey, Bubby was gracious enough to go and get me a foil token.
Yeah.
That thing was pretty. I wish
then
it
I traded it fucking an hour later.
Yeah.
Yeah. Same thing. I passed up on my, I grabbed mine and I passed it on, traded it on too because I didn't think it was going to be worth anything.
Right.
Boy.
It's a foil. It's a foil token.
A
foil
flip
token.
Ironically, now they're not. I mean, they might be worth more now because there's only ones that are like that.
Yeah.
The you know that specific token, but now that there's infinite foil flip tokens now.
Yeah.
Which kind of ruins the whole thing. Like, at least make it a foil, just a foil token in general. Stop making flip stuff extra. Like, stop making mm-hmm. stuff. Not.
I
as
did
cool
like
as
what they did with
stuff.
The new one set with the tokens where it's a full art on the back.
The full art
yeah,
note
those
tags.
Cool.
Those
stuff,
are nice.
Yeah, and if those came in foil, oh. Man, I would be all over those.
So what else do they got
for
this shit?
So some of the changes that are coming in, they're pulling out measuring quantity only to instead bringing in measuring quantity and quality. Now there's going to be a pseudo rating on your store of player satisfaction on top of how many players are coming. So now players actually get to put an input into your store.
So now you get to Yelp review.
Yeah, basically your Yelp reviews are going to pay off. Which, that could be good, that could be bad.
Interesting. I can see stores promoting this. See, the hard part is that is to get people to actually do it. If you want that to matter, promote it. I actually seen a store in San Diego that if you, it was for Pokemon Go, I believe. If you did something, what was it? If you did something and showed it to them, then they gave you a free soda. Like, you know how many fucking binge nerds who are like fucking like free shit, you know, just leave us Yelp review and we'll give you a fucking soda.
Biffo, it's all about their value, okay. Biffo.
Value.
So, in continuing on with that, the big thing that they're trying to pull out of this is what they're labeling as tickets and engaged players or enraged players, depending on how you want to look at it. Tickets are just you're paying for entry for F&M.
Yeah.
And then engaged, enraged players are those who are repeat customers.
Okay. They want to see,
either multiple a week, multiple times a month. That's what they're really wanting to see.
So they're pushing for those multiple store events. Like, obviously, stores have multiple card games. There's Pokemon, there's Yu-Gi-Oh, there's Magic, there's Vanguard, etc. So they want those multiple events a week. I remember back when I was playing pretty hard, our shop used to have a lot of events. Like,
we had Friday night, we had Sunday, we had Tuesday, we had Thursday?
I don't remember, honestly. I just remember Sunday extended. I remember Tuesday and Thursday rotating a lot. I just remember getting a lot of points, like before Planeswalker points were a thing.
Yeah.
Because just all the events I played.
Yeah. And
it wasn't for that. It was for the original promos that you used to get. Yep. I used to play so many events. There was one time where I got a package of literally four of the premium. I got four cryptic commands and I got like a stack of the other textless ones in the mail. I was like, oh shit, I played a lot of events this month, or you know, the 3 months, however
long the cycle was. There was one month that I went and it was five times a week. Because we're going up to the store up in East Hills.
Yeah.
We're going to our local LGS, and any place that had anything close enough
to a registered FNM. Yeah. I remember you doing that too.
So, part two, and I think this is going to be interesting. They're pulling out individual promo cards and bringing in promo cards inside packs of four. A.K.A. your...
Standard showdown packs.
Standard showdown packs. So it sounds like they're going to be doing that on a regular basis. Instead of doing that separate event that, like, our LGS does, we have F&M, and then there's Standard Showdown F&M.
Yeah. Standard Showdown is always on Sundays for us.
Sunday, yeah.
I just wonder if this is going to get rid of the promos that they have, or are these packs, are they going to be...
These packs are literally the exact same as the...
Does it say what's going to be in them? I know it has a land in it, but is it going to be random cards that are currently in standard?
And also, are they going to get rid of, you know, because they've been coming out with some decent promos for F&M lately.
It's hit or miss.
When they had the F&M Reman.
I just like that they have more of them now.
Okay.
Well, back then, it used to be a cycle. You would get one promo for 3 months. But now, you know, you get two or three different promos for those 3 months instead.
Yeah.
Okay, so the breakdown is, and it's starting with Corset 2020.
So over the summer.
Over the summer. Slot one is a pre-promo stamped rare mythic from the most recent set. Could be any rare or mythic.
Okay.
Second one is promo stamp rare mythic from a short curated list.
Okay.
So they choose a handful at who knows how many. So that will
be the pseudo FNM promos where we have three different ones. It'll be curated from those. That's what I see. So you'll get a random card that could be anything rare or mythic. You'll get the land that everyone's been getting in these standard showdown packs. And then you'll get a random card that's curated from a list. That seems decent. I like that. I mean... I wonder how many of those we're going to get versus how many promos we've been getting.
Well, I mean...
Yeah. I mean, it depends on what the allocation is.
So that means first place is going to, of course, get a couple of showdown packs.
Probably just get one still.
But still, you get four cards.
Oh, yeah, definitely, for sure.
Yeah, and I'm assuming third slot is land because, unfortunately, printer cut off that whole section.
Ow.
And the fourth promo slot is, let's see... Season-specific cards, just like F&M promos. For the first season, there will be five cards up from the usual three. So there'll be a specific rotation of five.
This is literally just a better version of that, depending on how many they give to the store. Because like the issue is not bad.
I like this.
It's not that bad.
And there's still going to be the standard standalone buy boxes promo cards also.
Yeah.
So we're still going to have single promos still coming. They're adding these.
Yeah. The thing is, it just depends on how many you get. Because yes, this is going to sound awesome, but what if you only get one for an F&M? Then it's going to be kind of shitty.
What I'm going to hate to fucking see is those shops that will get the other allocation, keep half of it, and sell the packs.
Yeah. I haven't actually heard of stores doing that.
There's a few shops on the way out to LA. There's one shop in particular. They do not actually play showdowns. They only sell the packs.
So how is they don't keep them?
Well, here's the thing. They also sell those packs at regular pack price.
Okay.
So $5 a pack.
I guess that's still...
Which is at least not ripping anybody off.
Honestly, I think that's bullshit. Because I think a lot of people have gotten accustomed to these packs, these tournaments costing money to get into because the stores have been actually promoting a little more, I guess. When the Sunday Showdown or the Standard Showdown packs first came out, there was no charge. It was a free tournament. You got to play. First place, you know, the first two or three people got a pack, and then if the store felt like it, they can give away promos. But that was it. It was a free tournament to play, and you get some free prizes, and it was cool. When stores started charging for those tournaments and only giving away those packs, that's when I called bullshit. And then they started getting better about it, giving away more promos and actually giving away actual packs. So that made it reasonable. But getting these for free from WotC. Why are you charging people? Like...
Yeah,
it's bullshit.
If you had extra
price structure, that's cool. But
back
no.
in the day, you remember, man, back in the day, Bubby, when we'd play, we'd have 64 fucking players, 68 players, and first place would get a box and a fucking half.
Oh, yeah, I remember that. I used to win it.
Because whenever we used to do the 3 for $10, whenever you bought a pack, whenever you bought three packs, a pack would go into the prize pool.
No, I think it was two. Whenever you bought two packs, it added a pack. So it was nuts. Like, our shop was definitely going ham.
Especially on new release weekends, everybody's buying boxes.
Uh-huh.
So you're 36 packs. You're getting 12
but
packs.
But see, the deal with that is you couldn't do it on your pre-release. Like, you couldn't get your pre-release box and then, you know, not your pre-release, your pre-order box.
Yeah.
You would have to wait till F&M night and then buy the box at full price. Like, you didn't get your pre-order. But it did add half a box. Every time you bought a box, it added half a box to the prize pool.
Yep. Which was nuts.
It was nuts. Like, I loved it.
Dude, I remember they were paying down to 20th fucking place.
I mean, I still kind of do that to an extent now.
That's what I was going to say. I remember one F&M, and this was not actually during a release. This was just somebody kind of... urged everyone on just to start buying boxes in the middle of the month between sets for no fucking reason. I took last place and it was 26th or 27th. I still walked away with three packs for last place.
Yeah.
That's insane.
No, like when I was playing Magic back then, I was a broke fucking college student. And I'm like, how did I afford this? I'm like, oh yeah, because I was winning a box each week for nothing. Like me and my best friend, we shared a collection, and we were literally getting first and second place at every F&M. We were getting like two boxes each week for free, like just for winning.
Yep.
But everyone was happy because, you know, I missed that cool prize structure where it paid out to the better players. I'm not trying to be an elitist here, but it was a lot more fun. You got to fight for something. Yep. Who wants to go to F&M and win a pack? I don't want to fucking go to F&M and win a pack.
I'm not a fan of the
I'd rather go to F&M and win half a box. Like, that sounds fucking awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And, you know, it's unfortunate with our LGS the way they do it now. Every round you win, you get a pack or $4 store credit.
No,
it's like,
The pack is fine. Like, at least they've kind of... No, still, they don't give away packs anymore. They give away store credit. They're fucking themselves. It's annoying as fuck. If you have a tournament and you give away $4 store credit each round for two people, for every third person, you're just in, like, you're always in the hole every time. Like, if you give away packs, at least you're, you know, giving them away at your price. Like, if you get your packs at $2 each, you're only giving them away for $2. But if you give away $4 store credit, like, you're not making money. Like, sorry.
Everybody that we know that plays Friday Night Magic always goes infinite.
Oh, yeah.
For what they pay, the $5 entry fee, they walk away with...
If you go 2-2, you're up $3.
Yeah.
How do you do that? Like, how the fuck is that possible?
Which literally pays for your next F&M and then it becomes a free game.
And then if you go 4-0, I get my next three tournaments for free.
Yeah.
Awesome. Done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That system is I'm not a fan.
System has ruined everything.
And the last part of this with the AWPN, they're taking out complexity and bringing in simplicity, which we've basically already covered overall. With tickets and engaged players, WotC, WPN wants to see new players come in occasionally, repeat players coming in often, and your numbers growing.
You know what I would like to see from this? You know what I want to see? I want to see transparency. I want to see a list of shops and have their numbers be online so we can know what people are getting and et cetera.
Yeah.
Like, I would like some transparency. That's what I want.
Yeah, definitely.
Instead of all the secrecy where
it's like... I don't think that's too much to ask for.
Yeah.
You should be able to type in, they should have the database. You should be able to type in the place, and it'll give you the listing of how many players.
How often they have events, a list of their events. It's not that hard to pull that together.
Well, the bad thing is there was some times back in the day with the original WPN, certain individuals, Mr. Lazy Eye.
Oh, yeah.
Hector would use our DCI numbers to pad his F&Ms.
Yeah, he would have fake F&Ms and get more events.
So he would literally, if there was only four people there to fire off an eight-man thing, he would go through the list. Because once you input the stuff into the DCI software, it's in there forever.
Yep.
So you just look up the name, boom, and just click. Boom, boom, boom. Add four players.
Yeah, and that's exactly what they've been doing.
And there was a couple of times where someone would call up and go, did you use my name for an F&M? We're like, no, why? Well, it shows that I was used for an F&M at your store.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a lot of shady shit.
And for the occasional, you know, big grinder, they get randomly used just to fill some spots and go, you know, zero drop out. That dings their points.
Well, yeah, back then, like, you didn't have Planeswalker points back then. You had a rating.
Yep.
If I had, you know, 2,200 points back then, which was a lot, and I played against some newbie person, and I lost one round of them for an F&M, I lost 36 points. Yep. Like, you know how hard that is to make up? That's 36 matches. Like,
yep.
36 matches to make up that one loss. Like,
that's the reason why we are loving the
Planeswalker.
The 5X... 10x, 15x qualifiers. No, and
back
grinding.
Then, like, you used to get invites for having that kind of stuff. Yep. And I almost got an invite once, but I think I lost like a shit ton of points at a tournament that I got food poisoning at. It was fucking gross. I think it was the first Scarcity Game Open ever. It was in LA. We showed up to the event. I was gonna play. We got breakfast. As soon as we got to the venue, I started feeling sick, and I'm like, oh no. Food poisoning.
Yeah, because the SCG events were 6x modifiers.
Mm. I don't remember six what or they 8X were, but it was nuts. I lost like over 100 points for going 0-3 in an event. Because actually, 1-3 because I won one match and then dropped.
Yeah.
Yikes.
Oh, I used to love it, man.
Yeah. I'm happy I never had a grind. I'm happy I skipped that life.
You still have to grind nowadays. Now it's just online.
Yeah.
Well, they still have it where you can grind and get your mythic online.
Which they would still somehow
fucking do something with the WPN. All right, guys. We got a couple other things in the news. We hate socialists. Fuck the Man is Short and Potato Wedge. All I have to say is I'm not going to go into the whole fucking details, man. Twitter is a fucking goddamn cesspool of fucking shit, dude.
The internet is.
Yeah, the internet is. You want to find some of the worst, go to Twitter. Please don't go to Twitter. Just don't. It's not worth the time. It's not worth the headache. I try not to. I really don't. But then Wedge starts spouting shit. Super fucking obviously. I swear to God, he's in the closet. He's like a closet racist, and he's just trying to defend, be that white knight when he wants to be a white knight.
So if you guys don't know, he wants us to not have any free speech whatsoever. We should not have free speech in 2019.
Usually it's the people who, you know, that want to defend their free speech that don't want free speech, not someone on his side of it.
You know what? I'm just going to read the fucking tweet.
Like, is he just trying to be an SJW? Like, it's so awkward. Like,
yeah,
he's such a beta male. It's so annoying.
I don't even call him a fucking beta cook, man. I mean, he's... So, he tweeted out... On
Beta's giving him too much credit.
On on March 15th, it's amazing how in 2019, but feel like it's 100 years ago at the same time. I'm so tired of freedom of speech protecting people's dangerous ideologies. I'm sorry, but you shouldn't be able to spout white supremacist garbage and have it normalized. What's going on is there was a shooting in New Zealand in, White Church or...
I don't remember off the top of my head.
Shot up the mosque.
It was more than one mosque, I believe.
It was more than one guy.
And then it was 40 people that, like, a little over 40 people that died.
Yeah. So, he went nuts and he shot up a mosque and a hospital.
Yeah.
So, we had a player that, also a Patreon and a listener that listens to us from New Zealand. He lives close to there and he was filling us in on some of the stuff. And so, I guess the guy's manifesto, he is not exactly a white supremacist. He's a white supremacist, but he's not falling under the category of a conservative. Wedge is putting that all conservatives, all Republicans are white supremacists, racists. We all need to be fucking silenced. Nobody needs to fucking hear anything with our hate speech. God knows that this podcast has nothing but fucking racist, fucking misogynistic, homophobic hate speech every time we fucking do one of these episodes, right?
I'm okay with free speech as long as you can fucking, dictate and just talk.
If you can talk about it, back it up with actual real facts. The man has no fucking facts whatsoever.
Most of them don't. That's 50, the issue.
Up to, it was last reported about 5 hours ago. 50 killed, 50 wounded.
So, yeah. So, but here again. When a non-Christian, I want to do this politically correct. A non-Christian goes into a, say, Christian church and starts shooting people there, right? Or stabbings. We don't see this same individual condemning those individuals at all. I go on Twitter because I look at it every morning and go, let me see what kind of shit goes on. And then I see that. And I think to myself, what the fuck am I reading?
Yeah.
Gio posted up a good thing about there about veterans. All right, guys. We have a Patreon. We have $1 and $5 tiers. If you want a specialty tier, if you want to get added to the DGen chat, all you got to do is for as little as $1 a day.
$1 a month.
I mean, $1 a month. You can join
36
the DJ.
Cents a day. And be the sign.
No, man, it's 49 cents a day.
Or a dollar a month.
A dollar a month. You can join the DJ in chat. You can get in there. You can find out all kinds of stuff. You can see about spec buys on fucking cards. They talk about a lot about Arena lately. Holy shit. And ass. Lots and lots of ass.
Yeah, some titties.
And every once in a while, Bubby will throw out those twink dick pics.
You gotta supplement everybody. Come on.
You know, it's nothing big.
We're very inclusive. Everyone come in. Yeah, come join us.
But we're homophobic, misogynistic, and racist. So
don't forget sexist.
Hey, but we're overgrown man children, so it's all good.
I'm pretty sure the 2.3% listener base that listens to Rudy would agree with us as well. So, it's okay.
Exactly. So, we also got social media. We have Facebook, Instagram. We have that fucking cesspool thing called Twitter. So, guys, this is Earl Grey.
Parking lot.
Bubby.
And we will see you in the next one.
Bye.
Adios. Tap, tap, tap to attack. I'm addicted to that cardboard crack. Crack, 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 crack another pack. To that cardboard crack. I'm running out of cash. I'ma have to charge. Spend my rent money on some magic cards. I'm running out of cash.